Welcome to Food for Thought Podcast, the place to explore, celebrate, and manifest a life motivated and defined by unconditional compassion and optimal wellness. Today's episode is Inauguration on a Wing and a Prayer. Before we begin, my name is Colleen Patrick-Gaudreau. You can find me at joyfulvegan.com and on social media. You can find my books wherever books are sold, and you can join me in my online cooking classes. This podcast is possible because of the support of listeners like you, and you can join other supporters by going to patreon.com/ColleenPatrickGaudreau to become a supporter today at your chosen level. Thank you so much in advance for supporting, for subscribing, and for listening to Food for Thought. I couldn't resist recording this episode and releasing it at a time when we are seeing our 46th president of the United States inaugurated into office. No, this episode is not about politics, don't worry. This episode is about the animals hidden within the inauguration, or more specifically, within the word inauguration. Now, you would have heard something similar if you were and are a subscriber to my animology podcast, which is still up and still available for you to listen to. It's just that I'm not producing any new episodes for it. It turns out that it's pretty challenging to manage two podcasts on top of other things. If you're new to my work, animology is the word I coined to refer to the animal-related words and expressions we use. And it's the topic of my TEDx talk as well. There are thousands of animologies in the English language and in other languages as well, but I speak only English. So if I've piqued your interest and you're curious, check out the Animology podcast for more. In fact, I made this topic the inaugural episode of the Animology podcast because, as you know, the adjective inaugural means first, opening, initial, maiden, introductory. So it was the perfect first introductory episode of Animology. And now it's timely again because, as many of you know, if you're, well, alive, that the United States of America democratically elects a new president every 4 years. And ever since George Washington, our first president inaugurated in 1789, new presidents give an inaugural address during their inauguration. The day a presidential inauguration occurs is known as Inauguration Day, and it takes place on January 20th or on the 21st, if the 20th falls on a Sunday. The only inauguration element mandated by the United States Constitution is that the president make an oath before he or she can enter on the execution of the office of the presidency. Now, the word inauguration doesn't have to do only with presidential elections in the U.S. or anywhere. An inauguration is, in general, the act of starting something, like a business or a practice. But what, you ask, hopefully, does that have to do with animals? What's the animology? Well, for the answer, we have to go all the way back to ancient Rome, when during the Roman Republic, religion was organized under a strict system of priestly offices, one of the most powerful of which was made up of the nine augurs, A-U-G-U-R-S. The main role of the augurs was to interpret the will of the gods by studying and interpreting the omens, aka the auguries, a practice referred to as taking the auspices. An augur was literally a diviner of birds, an interpreter of birds. I cannot overstate how influential the augurs were in terms of public and private matters in Roman society. They were consulted prior to any major decision, be it related to war, commerce, religion, politics, whatever it was, and were dependent upon to predict whether the undertaking in question was auspicious or inauspicious, favorable or unfavorable. The function of the augurs wasn't necessarily to tell the future, and certainly not to enact policy or take action, but to discover whether or not the gods approved of a proposed course of action, especially be it political or military. From the Latin noun augur, A-U-G-U-R, was derived the verb inaugurare, which means to tell the future from the flight of birds. Now, this term was applied to the installation of someone in office after the appropriate omens or predictions had been determined. And this became the word we use to elect politicians into office with the hope that their inauguration will foretell an auspicious administration, an auspicious tenure. The Latin word inauguratio referred particularly to the ceremony by which things or persons were consecrated to the gods. By the time inaugurare reached English as inaugurate and inauguration, the association with the divination of birds had been forgotten. So let's pause here to take a look at a few of the words that may have stood out for you and look at the animal lurking in their common root in the words augur, auguries, inaugurate, inaugural, inauguration, auspices, auspicious, and inauspicious. We have the root avis, A-V-I-S, pronounced avis in Latin, avis, which is Latin for bird, and which also forms our word avian, the adjective that means related to or pertaining to birds, aviation, referring to the design, development, and use of bird-like aircraft. And we have aviator, related to that, the operator of such aircraft, and aviary, a place where birds are kept and confined. And though we still use the word auspices to refer to positive signs, we also use it in the sense of protection, support, or patronage, as in the city animal shelter is no longer under the auspices of the police department, which is a true statement as it relates to my city's Oakland Animal Shelter. So all of these words are cognate: augur, auguries, inaugurate, inauguration, inaugural, auspices, auspicious, inauspicious, avian, aviation, aviator, and aviary. They all come from the Latin root avis, which means bird. Now, I mentioned that the augurs read the omens, the auspices, to determine if there would be an auspicious or inauspicious outcome. And one of the ways they read the omens was to observe and interpret the flight patterns, bird calls, activities and behaviors, and the entrails they obtained from bird sacrifices. Reading the signs and intestines of birds was not the only means of divination. Land animals were used too, but we'll get to that a little later on. In short, there was this whole structure of what types of signs the augurs read. There were five types. There was signs from the sky, like thunder and lightning, signs from birds, specifically anything a bird did, flying, what have you. But there was also from the dance of birds feeding, so how birds fed and what they looked like as they were, jumping to get their food and pecking it from the ground. So that was another way to read the signs of the gods. From quadrupeds or four-legged animals, that was another way they read the signs, the omens. And then from portents, basically everything else not covered above, like sneezing or stumbling would be considered a sign from the gods. Now, I go into all of these details in the etymology episode on inauguration if you're interested, but from merely watching the animals for auspicious or inauspicious signs from the gods, of course you also had animals who were killed as sacrifices to the gods, which involved cutting an animal's throat, then disemboweling him or her to look at the organs for ominous signs. The intestines and organs were examined to see what color and shape they were, and if they were twisted in knots or not. The intestines and other viscera were cut up and examined, then thrown into a fire on the altar to see how they would burn. If there was a bad omen, unfortunately, another animal would be killed and disemboweled, then another and another. Should anything about the sacrifice go wrong, it had to be repeated, but only after another additional sacrifice had been made to allay any anger of the gods over the failure of the first one. And so it's no surprise we have a word to characterize the killing of so many animals, a hecatomb. means a large-scale slaughter, and we still use this word today. It refers literally to a sacrifice to the ancient Greek or Roman gods consisting originally of 100 oxen or cattle. It's a Greek word built from hekaton, meaning 100, plus B-O-U-S, meaning cattle. So hecatomb means a large-scale slaughter. And don't forget, from that root word, B-O-U-S, we have English words such as bovine, bucolic, bugle, even bulimia. And you can find some of the etymologies of those words, some of those etymologies of those animalogies in the Animology podcast. But that's another story. The good news is no animals are sacrificed anymore to determine the winner of an election. Now we vote, and I hope you know the importance of voting by now. Today, we know we don't have to interpret the will of the gods to predict the future, and we don't need to read the behavior of birds to tell us whether or not an elected official will carry out their duties favorably and with success. The truth is, we never really did. All we need to do is look at the behavior of the candidate, of the person, their experience, their reputation and ability to lead, their honesty, their empathy and their vision, their ability to communicate, their commitment to the public good, and their allegiance to democracy. That should tell us everything we need to know. We don't have to look at the birds for the answer, but we should still look at birds because birds are awesome. So remember, don't do nothing because you can't do everything. Do something, anything for the animals, for the birds. This is Colleen Patrick-Gaudreau. Thanks for listening to Food for Thought.